Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Welcome
coming
back.
At you. Sips,
welcome
how you doing?
Back. Welcome
P-flex.
Back.
How you doing? Oh, man. It was a good podcast last week. I enjoyed it.
It was the best one. I think
I'm
that's
ready for a brand new one. What have we done?
How can we possibly top last week's podcast, which had riveting conversations such as creepy seducer golem and what else did we talk about?
Zombie cruise ship.
Zombie cruise ships, yes.
We surprised people last week because they expected a 6-week break. Because, that's, of course, the of previous one we'd said, see you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, and then some dumbo forgot to send his
moron
for some fucking idiot.
Who would do that? Unprofessional. Unprofessionalism.
Really just dropped the ball on that one.
It really could be either of you, couldn't it, honestly?
Come on. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Give me a break. Yeah. It's clearly.
Give me a break, Sarge.
I mean, Sips goes into the dash garage for 6 weeks.
Sarge, you got machine guns. Those fucking guys in wars who are told, you, and you, get up that hill and attack that machine gun.
Sarge, I'm not ready to die.
I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. Yeah, we're going to find out how many bullets I got left. So get up that hill. Jeez.
That's right.
That's real war. None of this, let's call in an airstrike shit.
Yeah.
This is literally, here's a grenade, just run up there and try and throw it in that little hole and try not to get shot. And you might get shot, but off you go. And they just did it.
Oh.
Nowadays, imagine these goddamn millennials. Imagine trying to tell them to do it. They'd say, I don't feel like
today. Do I have to?
I'm not going to. This is unfair. I'm going to refer you to the Working Practices Board for Machine Gun Nest attacking. And they'll have stern words with you, sir.
This is why society should pay all of my bills.
I'll do it for college tuition.
All right, here's the form and fill down the triple.
He just busts out all of the legal documents.
Yeah, we got the paperwork. Paperwork.
I need a pen over here.
Guy
Staff.
Running through mortars to bring the paperwork.
Fucking.
All right, you three men, I want you to run across this minefield to get the paperwork to run this guy up the hill to take out the machine gun nest.
Sarge, we're gonna need paperwork on that. God damn it!
We're gonna need a ladder.
We're gonna need a specific ladder too. We can't just give him the old splintery ladder. No, it's gotta
be a new ladder.
It's gotta be a brand new one. It's gotta conform to standards.
Ladder inspector, get up here, front and center. Board for duty, Sarge. Inspect that ladder. Sarge, running for fairlight trip, get to inspect that ladder.
That's how war was would be rubbish now. That's why they use
that's
drones.
That's why there's not going to ever be a World War III. It would just get totally bogged down in red tape.
I don't feel like charging today. You hurt my feelings. And they'd want like a comfy area to relax in with your Nintendos and drinks machines and cool sofas and sculptures and artwork and stuff.
Oh,
fucking millennials ruining war. What have you done?
Yeah, look what you've done now, millennials. I mean, technically, I think I am a millennial, though. I think
in what way?
Because the date of birth range is like, it varies depending on who you speak to. But I was born in 1980, which is...
Your generation X, amigo.
I consider myself Generation X, but there are naysayers out there, probably flat earthers, let's be honest, who say that if you were born in 1980, you're technically a millennial, but I don't think I am, actually. I think I missed it.
A person reaching young adulthood in the early 21st century, that would put you out. Unless you think that 20 is young adulthood, I think, or 21.
I think we just about missed it.
I think we just, I think it was like 81, 82.
I think the way
81
you could tell
to 1996.
Is if you like Pokemon, then you're a millennial.
I think that's probably how they should measure it now.
That's
the
cutoff.
Because Pokemon,
I've
said this a million times and I maintain it. I was too old to enjoy Pokemon.
Exactly.
When it came out, I was in pretty much high school, I think.
You were punching the people who were into Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I forced them
into a small red ball, and then I'd throw them at other nerds.
Yeah, that's
and make them do battle.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Yeah, Pokemon. Yeah, no, I missed Pokemon. Therefore, I am not a millennial.
It was like today in Fortnite. I'm just too old to understand it. Do you know what I mean? That was what it was when I was at school. Pokemon was this new thing.
You understand Fortnite? We played lots of PUBG.
I was too old to understand it.
Fortnite is just the latest craze in the latest genre, right? The new Call of Duty is coming out,
and it's got
a battle royale mode in it, and they've got
there's always something that
grapple
you don't get.
Lines and stuff. It's faster.
You're saying you don't get Fortnite. It's just a
I don't really
royale
get
game.
Memes, honestly. Over I don't memes. Get like Twitch chat. I don't get like I'm a bit beyond it all.
You
a
do
bit too old. For
you're
it.
Younger than
really
me, and I mean, I get most of that. I'm pretty hip with the kids. I know what they're. I know all the memes.
I don't know.
I know the kind of stuff
you,
that they're saying.
If you use the sentence "hip with the kids," you are by definition
this,
not.
That's it.
Is this a meme?
You know, I know like you know Ellie Jiggle and fucking.
I know all about
feels,
your Ellie Jiggles
feels bad,
and your
man.
Monka
I know
Giggles
that one.
And
I know what all that. I know what all those guys are talking about. I don't feel left out at all, so.
I'm not left out when you guys say Ruffle. I know Ruffle.
Ruffle.
Back in my day, we had the Doot Doot skeleton. We were happy.
We had a dancing
we
baby.
We that guy.
A dancing
Whatever
baby.
Happened to him?
In simpler times when we had Goatsy. Now it's all.
That was our meme, was 9/11 and Goatsy.
Yeah. No, it's a craze like
did
any
Bush
other,
did
though,
it,
right?
Did it or was it steel beams? We don't know.
That Fortnite boy Glory. Can't melt steel beams. There's a crossover meme.
I wonder what
meme.
The next big thing is going to be, though. I wonder what the next big genre is going to be. Like, it feels like, you know, like the Battle Royale was. It was pretty cool. Like, remember when we were playing PUBG, when we started playing, it was really fun. We were enjoying
it.
Yeah,
it was fun
it.
And
it was,
new.
It was
we
cool.
were excited.
It was fresh. We were excited about it. But
we didn't know what we were doing, so it made it even more
that,
terrifying.
What was, like, the big genre craze? It would have had to have been...
building games.
It was DayZ for a long time, though. You remember
it was,
that?
It was those kind of crafting, building, wandering
yeah, but
around,
also,
survival.
But also, like Dota, League of Legends games were pretty popular too, right? Those
I guess. I
those
don't
were
think
like
they...
the big genre craze. That was the
I mean,
big
League,
genre
League
craze.
Was
definitely, yeah,
craze.
It was,
yeah,
craze.
Yeah,
well,
the League into things. Yeah, that was a huge
like there were
thing.
A million made. I remember going around, I think it was at DreamHack Winter, a good few years ago now. And all the games coming out that they were showing off were MOBAs. Like, every single one was some shitty MOBA that was clearly going to die on its ass.
Yeah.
Like, there was Strife, and then Smite, and League, and Dota, and...
Was that one that Paragon or something?
Yeah, there were loads.
I haven't heard from that one for a while. Yeah, no, there's tons of different MOBAs.
If it's like a hill thing, right? If it's like a series of hills, it must have been like MMOs were this big craze, weren't they? Where everyone was doing those.
Yeah,
and then
Warhammer Online,
Conan,
the original
Conan. Lord of the Rings Online.
Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah, there's tons of MMOs.
Dark Age of Camelot, yeah, there were loads.
After that, it was the MOBA sort of hill, and that sort of... gone down a bit, and recently it's been this. I guess the start of that hill was the DayZ and stuff like this. You know those battle royale type games. With
yeah,
zombies
that survival.
But then it evolved
sort of
into PUBG.
Kill
and
people,
Fortnite.
Take their gear, get stronger, work your way to.
I mean, I feel like Fortnite, we're only a year into that cycle. We need to do another 2 years of that before that
disappears. Battle Royale is not done yet. That's
no,
for sure.
No, definitely.
But I also think that like what we'll see is we'll see the tail end of that evolve into something else. Partly because, like, I think it's because we've always had FPS games bubbling away in the background, right? There's always been a Counter-Strike and
Team Fortress 2. Doom and Wolfenstein and stuff.
There's always been these games that have never really become the number one genre, right? But now it is sort of that.
Yeah. I think did pretty good though.
It did, but it was never Fortnite big, I don't think. I don't think anyone, I mean, things like
Counter-Strike is still pretty huge though, isn't it?
No, but compare it to Fortnite. Like, look at the number of people that play Fortnite, right? Like, in order for a game to be, like, completely dominant, obviously Fortnite is an exception.
Yeah, I mean,
because
Fortnite,
it is so big.
Fortnite is clever because of the graphics and the accessibility of it for, like, a younger audience as well. Counter-Strike is a game that looks like you wouldn't let your 7-year-old play. But, you know, because Fortnite is cartoony and stuff, like, my
Killer
son...
Instinct.
My son has friends at school. He's 6 years old who have Fortnite T-shirts and
I know, Sips. It's terrifying.
But we knew this was coming. It's kind of like the new Minecraft, isn't it?
But it is. I've said this like a year ago.
Yeah. He said it a year ago, Sips.
On this podcast.
Where have you been?
Someone find that.
I remember it. Everybody remembers that. It was a seminal moment in this podcast history when Lewis said,
it's
the new Minecraft. He literally said that. He said that.
I said... To my wife, I said, "Listen, Charlene."
So hang on a second. You predicted a trend.
You put down that meme.
You didn't do anything about it. What the hell?
I've seen the future. And the future is Fortnite. None of this Minecraft any longer. All the kids, they're moving over. We gotta move, Charlene. We gotta move with the times. We'll be left behind.
Go back to your Whitland. I ain't interested in no Fortnite.
It's weird though, isn't it? It's kind of like it comes in twos though, because it like the game Minecraft itself was huge, obviously, and it made a lot of people very big on YouTube. But if you look at people who were big in Minecraft around the time like that, you know, Yogscast was super big in Minecraft, for example. A lot of those guys have just dropped off almost completely, right? Their views are no longer like up in the millions and stuff like that. Some of them have just moved away from Minecraft altogether and they do other things, or they've just completely disappeared, sort of thing. Like it the personality ties in with like the trending game as well, big time, right? Like it's all very aggressive. People will just sort of like slope off and drop off after a while too. And I guess the same will probably happen with Fortnite too. Like you'll have a couple of really dominant personalities who will probably just carry through like the entire trend sort of thing. But you'll have people who will rise up and drop off like throughout too, which is interesting, I guess, if you look at it. It's like interesting to
it's
see that
It's like a TV, if you think about
evolution.
TV shows that were big, I guess it's a bit like that. People watch the show, the series runs its course, and that's the end. And then, you know, some of those people go on to do other things, and some of them are only ever known for, you know, being that one person in that one thing.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Like Joey from Friends.
Right. I mean, Joey's attempted
He's
other things.
He's just Joey, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Episodes, did you watch Episodes? That was good. That was a good show. That had Stephen Mangan and Joey from Friends in.
No.
And Tamsin Grieg. It was really funny. It was about this English couple, these two English writers, and they go to LA to write a series for Joey, basically.
Right.
And it's like they're trying to write a good show, and it's being destroyed by the committee system that they have in Hollywood. And you know, we want to have this in, and we want to have that in, and we the numbers say this, that, and the other. So they have to sort of work around it. And it's all like how these two English writers go to this Hollywood scene with this big star. And it's well worth the watch. Episodes, I think it was called. It's very, very good.
Episodes, okay.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting channels on YouTube that are still doing Minecraft and still getting, you know, millions of views. I think, if anything, there's still like these communities that just stick around. And, you know, I think Minecraft might come back, you know? I think
my kids still play it.
It's if the right personality plays it and almost trends it, you know what I mean? Like kids at school and stuff will sort of all follow each other if one thing becomes popular again or whatever, and you know, they'll all sort of jump onto that bandwagon and watch it. Like Fortnite feels like that right now, right? It
it's
just exploded out of nowhere too. Like it, you know, the original, the PvE Fortnite that came out was okay, which is like really lackluster though. It didn't feel like it was going anywhere sort of thing. And then when they announced the Battle Royale mode and stuff, it came out and it was fairly popular, right? It was fairly popular. But then all of a sudden, it just seemed like overnight, it just exploded.
It really did,
And okay,
some of these streamers just became gigantic literally overnight. It's insane. It's true. Yeah.
So on Monday, we were playing, me and Dallas Rhythm were playing Warcraft 3. Okay? Right. And we loaded up some custom games and we played Gem TD, Element TD, and one of the other
These are still in Dota, in
StarCraft 2 and Warcraft 3 were great, weren't they?
I think one day, tower defenses, that'll be what all the kids are playing, right? It's got to be. They've got to have their time.
There's plenty of them, though. There's plenty of tower defense games. There's lots of PC games that are tower defenses.
They've had their opportunity, and
there's mobile games that are tower defenses. It's a genre that's been around for a long time, and it's never like gotten mega, mega big.
It's never gone to the mainstream. No. It's time to shine.
I don't think it's ever going to shine, though.
Come on, tower defense!
It's one of those games. It's one of those genres that's just going to be like a background lurker genre, right? It's going to
You know what I think the next thing's going to be?
Seducer.
They've tried this before. So they call it like an ARG, right? Like an augmented reality game. Yeah. So you're out in the real world, but it's also kind of a game. And there have been a few where you have to go around and other people are playing it and you shoot them and it shows up on your phone, you got them or whatever. But if you think about a battle royale game and you think about Pokemon Go, think about the fact that in Pokemon Go, people are outside collecting Pokemons. If you could have some kind of game that combined the being outside collecting things of Pokemon Go with the battle royale style gameplay of Fortnite, you could have an actual people walking around outdoors battle royale Fortnite Pokemon crossover game.
Wow, yeah.
And I call it... We should edit this to insert a clever name. Insert
Pokey.
No, just leave that as it is.
Wait, pork
leave
night.
Leave it in silence.
Barola. I don't even know how you would.
Pork night. That's what I call it. It's like pork night.
Pork night.
Okay. Pork night. Pork. You tie it with Star
Wars. This has legs. Tell me more. Well, we need some more details.
You have to collect pork. And
okay.
It's at night time.
I'm in.
I'm out of ideas.
Here's $1 million. Turn it into $5 million.
Oh my God. How can I invest? How can I get in on the ground floor of this and invest?
Let me tell you something.
I can make some returns.
This is so early, we're in the basement. We haven't built the ground floor yet, but you can be part of the ground floor building team.
You've dug a hole.
With a small investment.
You're at the bottom of it now.
You've dug a shitty hole.
I'm in that hole.
It's a muddy,
shitty
hole.
Help me get out of this hole.
Nice. That's nice. You know what? You know what I always thought? I always thought that, like, Blizzard, okay, if anyone at Blizzard's listening to this, okay, for the love of God, just make a Warcraft Stardew Valley, because honestly, World of Warcraft has kind of become Stardew Valley, right? It's like it's become the biggest collect-em-all of all time, right? Lewis has had many rants about this in the past, about collecting his achievements and gear and stuff and feeling bad because he's missed out on being able to collect these mounts and gear. If they made like a, if you were like an orc and you had to like build up a farm and do farming and stuff, and all of like the main characters would come by and visit and say that, you know, Jaina is having a birthday party on Tuesday, can you bring a present for her and stuff? Holy shit, that would sell millions. Like, can you imagine all of like the drooling, frothing Warcraft fan base? Like, they would lap that up, right? Like, they could
the ultimate Care Bear WoW
experience.
Yeah,
they could build up their own little like house and a farm and stuff, and they could like hire people to go on adventures for them and bring back epic items. They could tie everything into a game like that, where you just have to go off and collect everything and have a trophy room and stuff like that. I mean, I would definitely play the fuck out of that one, and I'm sure a lot of other people would too. So I like, again, like I said, Blizzard, if you're listening, you can have that one for free. Just make it called Warcraft.
I think if
Valley.
I worked for Blizzard, the first thing I would do is such a weird fucking thing. I would like start making spreadsheets and be like, okay,
right,
how do you get all of this to collect all this stuff? And why can't you collect stuff? And anything that you can't collect, it should be doable. I'd figure out which quests are broken, We'd get them fixed. I'd just be the polish guy, right? I'd go in there and I'd polish up that game like unbelievably. I'd make it so everything was doable, everything was attainable, everything was collectible, and it was clear how to get it. And I'd release that spreadsheet publicly as well. I'd be like, here, look, here's a spreadsheet showing you what you need to do, how you need to do it to get everything. You know, I'd be that guy. I'd be on the Reddit. Like,
that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
I know, it's such a nerdy thing, right? A bizarre.
Imagine the influx of...
It's weird that that's suddenly my dream job.
Chicks
I would
that
love
you would
to
get
do that.
Knocking at your door all of a sudden. Oh my yeah. God.
I heard you did that.
He's
spreadsheet.
So dreamy. Oh my God. That's such a big spreadsheet
so
too.
How many we were talking about World of Warcraft, because every day there's a post on Reddit complaining about the new expansion, right? And I don't know whether this is because, as we've spoken about before multiple times, World of Warcraft is this kind of living game where people expect so much from it, right? Everyone's like, I love the leveling experience. I love getting to the new thing. I loved all the stuff. But as soon as I got there, everything was locked behind a rep grind, all the new allied races are locked behind incredible tedious things. You have to go back to the previous expansion and grind Exalted, which takes you weeks on the old content to get this fucking extra horns on your Tauren. It's like everything takes way too fucking long, and because there's no sort of ways to speed this up, you know, and it's not, obviously part of it is that the game isn't pay to win, so you know you have to pay your sub every month, but the thing is, like, I want to play this game, and I still haven't played it because I haven't had time, but I've just unsubbed from World of Warcraft because when I did it, I realized, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to complete the leveling experience of a game that I paid for now because I'm not willing to keep paying £12 a month it's frustrating. It's an old, strange thing that I don't know why we are so happy to put up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. When you say we, I haven't played it in a long time.
No, I know you haven't.
The last
time I played
it was with you, Lewis. Do you remember?
No.
We played it. I think I came down to... It must have been when I was down in Bristol. And you wanted me to play it. And you were astounded at how bad my gear was. And I hadn't seen any of the new area. And we went around some old instances. And you were so powerful, you could just like kill everything.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get stuff. And you were trying to get me back into it, and you were like, you should play WoW, it's great, you should play it. Me and Sips play it, and Duncan plays it, and everybody plays it, we should play it. And I was like, eh. And you were kind of disappointed.
Well, it is one of these games of love and hate, and I wonder whether we get in that with Destiny 2. So Destiny 2 Forsaken just came out, and me and Sips, originally we had a sponsored deal, because I'd never played it, so I was like, oh, you know, it'll be good.
Yeah. Well,
video,
no, we played it randomly on stream one time, because Terps was playing it, and he liked it. And he was like,
yeah,
we were burnt out with Hearthstone. So he was like, why don't we play Destiny 2? And
but that was
I bought it when it came out for PC thinking, I want to try this out. And
do you want to do a brand deal on this in the future? If so, you should probably figure out whether you like want to actually play the game or not.
I didn't realize that was the...
Well, no, that's what Terps like said to me sort of on the side.
Oh, right.
So I was like, I'll play it. But unfortunately, it got its hooks into me somehow. And the games haven't managed to get its hooks into me since, I think, XCOM 2, which, incidentally, there is a new expansion planned for, by the
is
way.
There?
I heard.
Is there actually?
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah.
That's great.
Planned, so it's not imminent.
So wait, hang on. There's going to be another expansion for XCOM 2? Because you'd expect the next game to be coming out like pretty soon,
well,
because there was foreshadowing at the end of XCOM 2, right?
Well, I would have thought it would be
another
a new
terror
game entirely.
From the deep one sort of thing?
Oh, please,
well,
no.
I've heard a lot of... There's definitely something coming, and it's either going to be a new game
the lead guy on XCOM 2 is like an old school diehard XCOM fan. And
yeah,
we've
met him.
I think that he played them all to death, basically. Some of them he liked, some of them he didn't like so much, sort of thing. But I think I remember him saying at some point that he really liked the idea of like, was it Terrors from the Deep or
Terror from the Deep?
Yeah.
From the Deep.
It was like
terror,
the idea
there were definitely
of it, but it wasn't
underwater stuff.
It wasn't like it executed well. And I feel like
Terror from the Deep was executed terribly. Yeah.
I feel like it is a good idea. And I think if it was done, you know, as well as like XCOM 2 was, for example, it could be fantastic. and maybe
I think they need to not look at any of the old games at all. You know, if they're going to make an underwater XCOM, it needs to be done from the ground up with modern XCOM in mind. Because XCOM 2 is so much different to XCOM 1.
That's what I mean,
which
was
so much different to the original, but better. Yeah. Better and better.
I mean, they've proven that they can do it with XCOM 2 because it's phenomenal. So, like, I have a lot of hope that if they did try to redo it or, you know, try to do something similar to it, it would be equally great, you know? Like,
yeah, oh, absolutely. Anyway, I'm sure, look, it's such a successful game. It's so good. You know, War of the Chosen came out, what, 2017? Like a year ago?
Yeah, it was
over a year ago now.
It was
so
fantastic.
I mean, War of the Chosen was a great expansion. And, you know, I'm surprised we haven't had any announcements in the last year about what's next because... But that means it must be fully under development, right?
Yeah, because there hasn't been any like DLC in between in the past year, right? Like, remember the first year it came out, you had all of like the cosmetic stuff. There was a couple of like campaigns, like Shen's Gift and all that kind of crap.
So yeah, so there hasn't been anything. I think it's got to be either a standalone kind of expansion,
that's exciting, yeah.
or something new. Because I think that I don't really want to load up XCOM 2 and do another campaign.
I'm actually was about to start that.
No,
I started. Okay. Again, because
you should do
it's
War of
so
the Chosen
much fun to stream.
Commander.
It is really fun to stream. Isn't
and try
it?
Not to lose your fucking shit because Sips gets so salty when he loses a guy, but actually, that's part of the fun.
It's well, it is, and it is. It
and also, the game
the circumstances
is built
in which you lose,
to lose
them
guys.
Is really sort of dictates
so you
part of the fun.
Expect to lose guys because it's fine and it's part of it. So
you know
just,
what?
Just
I
stick
have
it out.
Played the game.
Don't just quit as soon as you lose your
I
best
have finished
guy.
The game, so yeah. Multiple times. I'm okay, a veteran good. Of losing lads. I've lost a lot of lads.
It's fantastic, though. It is really good.
I always name them after people
like
on Twitch
though.
Chat.
Sometimes when one thing goes wrong, you're like, I'm done. You know.
So, no, if it's like really stupid or it's some mechanic that doesn't really explain itself all that well.
Oh, yeah, like something that gives you an extra action point, but
like,
then
what
you
the
use
fuck
that. What
do
then...
you mean like, I can't do X? You know, so like, oh, and then you lose like a key guy. I'm like, fuck it, I'm done. Like, I will quit it if I'm frustrated.
I mean, if you misunderstand the controls, that's fair enough. Anyway, back to where we were. But just quickly on the side, I played Jagged Alliance Rage yesterday.
This is the new one.
Today I played. Which is the new one. It's coming out in 3 weeks, and it is garbage. Garbage, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I didn't
You know
like
what's
it at all.
Frustrating to me is I love those games. I love those turn-based strategy games.
I love them to bits. 100%. I'm delighted there's more. And the reason there's so many more is because the very fact that XCOM and War of the Chosen is so did so well, made so much money. There's loads of them coming out, but a lot of them are just cash-grabby shit.
Yeah.
Ben was telling me about playing the Mario one with his kid. And he fucking, they both had a wonderful time. Like, Ben would say, what should I do now? And then they'd play, Mario versus Rabbids, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter
had a way of a time playing that together. And it's a great way to introduce people to the genre as well. Like, these things aren't competition. But anyway, it's a shame that some of them are a bit just bad. Like,
I don't know what it is with Jagged Alliance games. Bad. There has not been a good one since Jagged Alliance 2. Like, they've made, like, four. I was looking. There's loads. If you look on Steam, there are a bunch. They are all terrible. It's like they've got the IP.
But there were a bunch of terrible XCOM games between XCOM and XCOM.
Well, XCOM had put like it flipped around, didn't it? Like the first like couple of games were amazing and they did really well, and then the genre started dropping off a bit. It was less popular, and then I think the original studio went under. Sold the rights to it, and then another publisher picked up the rights to it, and so it was just it just became like a hot potato, right? It was this IP that was like fairly established, but none of the studios that touched it could do it any justice, sort of thing. And then it just drove it into the ground until it was so I think in the end I think 2K bought it for like nothing and then decided to decided to do something with it, sort of thing, you know.
But some people sell their licenses for fucking pretty low value anyway, because apparently, like, you know, Warhammer. How many fucking Warhammer games are there?
So
I played
many.
A turn-based strategy game of Warhammer called Mechanicus. I played that at GDC and Gamescom.
But this
really
stuff
nice
is all sanctioned under Games Workshop, though, right? They have like
they have
a ton of creative control over all of the stuff that's made.
Yeah, they
as well.
Actually weirdly do. They have you have to report back to them quite often, even if you end up not using very much of their stuff, just so they can make sure it doesn't sort of
you know this reminds me of the original Blood Bowl game made by what are they called, Cyanide. So this it came out a good few years ago now, and this is the original Blood Bowl computer game, so this is like 6-7 years old, maybe even older than that. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible, but it was the only like nice looking computer version of Blood Bowl. There was a thing called Fumble, which was like a Java client with like the weirdest community, but it was like really, really small. But all the good players played there. Oh, there's the door. Fuck.
This is the second time.
I love his doorbell too. It sounds so grand, doesn't it? It's like bing.
He lives in like a fucking mansion.
Yeah, I know. Jesus, I don't even have a doorbell at my house. It's just we're old school, just knocking. You know what else I don't have in my house, Lewis? You ready for this?
Go on.
You ready? Are you sitting down? A microwave. I do not own a microwave. And
what?
You know what?
That's the only thing I own.
I'm proud to say I've never owned, in my adult life, I have never owned a microwave. I've never owned a microwave.
Woo! The fuck?
Yeah, I hate myself so much. Reflex? And I want to make my life so complicated for myself that I've never owned a microwave.
That was Games Workshop. And they said, I'm not licensed to talk about Blood Bowl.
Holy shit. Fucking Games Workshop are bigger than I thought, though. Like,
how do you eat all those fucking like hot dogs then?
I knew they were a big company, but I didn't realize they were as big as they are. And their share price is like, it's like three grand or something like that. Their share price is nuts.
Anyway, can I just say about the original Blood Bowl game? Yeah, when Cyanide made it, it was to fulfill some kind of contract that they had agreed to make a Blood Bowl game.
Right.
So they made this shitty Blood Bowl game to just sort of get it out of the way. And it was surprisingly popular, even though it was dreadful, because there was nothing else. There's really nothing like it. Like, people are thirsty for turn-based strategy games, and there's just not many of them. So they made this game, and then it was way more popular than they thought it would be. So they were like, oh, shit, I guess we better make a good one. So then they made a second one that was, like, not shit. even though the rules of Blood Bowl are still shit, so it's still a frustrating, wanky game.
Was the original sort of Fumble, was that more authentic along the lines of the actual game?
Fumble was extremely authentic, had all the races, but it was just a fan project. It was free. It was just a free sort of online Java client that you could just play. You know, it wasn't ever intended to be for the mass market.
So back in the day, I used to play Magic the Gathering on a program called Cockatrice.
Right, yeah.
And it was like this open source, like shit. Sort of, basically, it was just a table that was made.
Exactly.
And you kind of, it didn't have any of the rules, right? So you had to like play a card and then sort of, then use arrows and stuff and clicking to explain to the opponent what it had done.
Right.
So you'd be like, poke his side of the thing and you'd be like, this thing is like, you need to discard a card. Or I'd like double tap on the card and make them to like, have to tell them to read it again, you know. But it was very much like kind of faith-based thing. It was very different. Like, it was more like Tabletop Simulator for Magic the Gathering, but very quick and easy to use. Very simple infrastructure, simple UI, completely illegal,
right,
obviously. And I don't recommend you see if you can find that and if it's still going. It probably isn't. It's probably been shut down.
No, it probably is, because the guys that run it are probably like, this is the only good version. None of the other versions are any good. But
it is interesting that you can sort of... But sometimes you just wanted to... For certain games, like with Magic, I just wanted to give a deck a try before I invested the money in it or something like this, you know? Because I wanted to get a feel for it. I didn't want to, you know, have to get all the cards, collect the cards, put everything together, give it a go, and then I only find that I hated it.
Mm.
You know, it's not so bad. But I mean, that does happen to me in Hearthstone. Like, I'll disenchant everything to make a fucking druid deck, and I'll play it once and I'll be like, oh, this is not as cool as I thought it was. Or, you know, someone beats me with a deck and
Google
that up.
Have you been playing on the topic of Hearthstone? Have you been playing it recently?
No. I got Legend to die, and so I've quit again.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even logged in for the last 2 months since I did it.
I'm the same.
But that's partly because I've been trying new games out. So, but also, it's partly because Destiny's got its hooks in me. Like, nothing, like, going back to this, but it's weird, like, to have, I think I'm going to have this.
You might
this
Destiny,
burnout period with
Flex.
It.
You might like it.
I think I'm just going to cold turkey it once it's done, and I think that'll be enough. Do you know what I mean?
The gameplay is phenomenal. It's like really satisfying when you shoot.
It's a satisfying FPS. The world looks great. It's really
stuff.
Pretty.
It's really nice.
It's very smooth.
It's really good.
It's not too many people. It doesn't nag you with microtransactions or anything. Like, I haven't spent an extra cent in it, and I don't feel like I need to. You know, it's actually okay.
Yeah, it's
you know,
pretty, yeah. You probably would like it, Flex. Like, I think
I've been playing a lot of
like
shooters
a game
lately.
That you would probably
lads, I'm a Dota main. All right,
I know you're a Dota main. That's got its hooks in you.
Oh, it always has. Yeah.
you're automatically, I think when you automatically just reach for that Dota button, don't you? It's like whenever I load up a Chrome window, my fingers automatically start typing in reddit.com and then I autofill r/yogscast and then I look through that and see what the news is. And it's like, that's my like muscle memory. Do you guys have this muscle memory on your like computer where you sit down and something, you just, something loads them automatically?
Pornhub.com. Yeah. It's muscle memory. I log into my computer and instantly open a Chrome incognito browser and I start typing in.
So, you know, I found out about...
It auto-completes for me and everything.
Incognito doesn't hide anything from the website you're going to.
It just hides it from your browser history. From other people who are using a browser on your computer.
That would make it the least incognito thing
when your friends come over for a couple of beers, they can't see that you've been looking up, like, you know...
Mercy.
Five guys blowing each other
Anna
porn.
Hot action.
Stuff.
May takes her... Parker off or whatever, I don't know.
To
play Overwatch.
It's just for your search like history and stuff.
Is that hot to you, Liz? She takes off her Parker.
I don't fucking know. She was very hot before.
Oh my god. So so listen, what you were saying about Blood Bowl. Is because we went to Disneyland and I've been reading like stuff just off and on about, you know, like Disney and Pixar and stuff too. And the story of Pixar is kind of interesting. It's a bit like you said with Blood Bowl. Originally, they started off and they made Toy Story as part of like a 3-movie deal with Disney. Disney were going to publish 3 Pixar movies and own all the rights to the characters and everything as a result. And Pixar at the time were like, yeah, great. You know, this is Disney. They're huge. You know, this will be like great for us. So they signed up to this like 3-movie deal and they made Toy Story first. And like you were saying about Blood Bowl as well, they didn't think it was going to be like a huge thing. You know, they were happy with what they made, but they were a little bit like, you know, how's this going to be received? Like, we don't really know. And then the sort of like initial reviews of the movie started coming in and people were saying like, this is going to be fucking huge. Like, it's going to be nuts. So they were like really confident and stuff. And then it came out and made millions sort of thing. And they were pretty happy. So then they started working on Toy Story 2, almost like immediately they started working on it. They had some ideas for it and stuff. But at the time, Disney's sort of, policy for sequels was straight to video. So Toy Story 2, they started working on it with the idea that it was just going to be a straight to video sequel. Like not even, you know, no theatrical release, nothing. Like it was just going to go, you know, straight to DVD or whatever, Toy Story 2. And then part of the way through it, they realized that like, oh, hang on, this is going to be much bigger and should be out in theaters. And can you imagine if Toy Story 2 went straight to video? That would have been crazy, right? It'd been nuts. And then that's when they started fighting because it was like, well, this was meant to be straight for video. So this doesn't actually count as one of like the 3 movies or whatever. And then Pixar was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're getting screwed here and stuff. And then they finally finished like the 3 videos in the deal. The 3 movies in the deal, and then they were like, they couldn't come to an agreement again. They didn't want to work with Disney anymore, and then Disney was like, oh, fine, we'll just buy you. And that was it.
That's Disney's way out of everything,
Disney's, isn't it? Disney's solution to everything is just,
we're just going to eat you up like Galactus or whatever. Yeah. Or what was that Transformer that eats everything?
Then buying Pixar meant that Steve Jobs became the biggest shareholder in Disney. He owned 7% of Disney stock at the time, which was worth like fucking $50 billion or something stupid like that. It was insane.
So I watched this documentary on Netflix last night called Forks Over Knives, right? Which is all about how you just shouldn't eat meat or animal protein because it kills you, right?
Go on.
And I was chatting this morning to Dave in the office, and he was like, That's what Steve Jobs did, right? He basically he decided he wasn't going to have like cancer therapy for his like treatable cancer. He was going to just go on like a vegan diet,
right?
And I was like, is that true? Because I don't know. Is that like a thing that happened?
It wouldn't surprise me if he did that. I don't know if he actually did do it, but he was very like. He was kind of like a product of like the 60s and the 70s, right?
Yeah,
He was not afraid to use like LSD and stuff. He went like on these spiritual pilgrimages to like India and stuff, and like
in a sweat lodge.
Yeah, well, no, but like I think he was like
like in Earth to Development.
Oh, no, he was just like a bit of a, you know, just like a bit of a hippie, I guess.
Gavin Belson from Silicon Valley. If you've seen that show,
yes,
I think he is very much based on Steve Jobs. Because he was an asshole from all accounts you can read about him. He was an asshole, and he was certainly very unpleasant to his daughter and stuff like that, who he denied.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did at first. Yeah, he. But I think they grew close like later in life. But
I don't believe they ever really did. Actually,
it was pretty awkward. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So it was stuff like that. I don't think he was a particularly nice guy, but I think a lot of these people that are extremely successful and driven generally aren't, honestly. So yeah, it was weird. It was one of those things where you think, so if Gavin Belson is based on him, and Gavin Belson is always doing this stuff where he's like, he's into Tibetan meditation and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm always curious when someone is already hugely successful but still decides I'm gonna do all this weird shit as well.
I think I'd be even less inclined to get into that shit. I think if I was like super successful and I had millions, I would just be like the ultimate, like, oh fuck, I farted in these underpants, I'm gonna need clean ones and stuff. Like I wouldn't be like going down spiritual attunement stuff or anything.
Because
you'd
think I must be doing something right, or else why would I be so successful, right?
I'd just be pouring all the goddamn time. I would act like a mafia boss without the organized crime element. I would act like that guy. I'd just be like, hey, all the time. Just with a lot of money. I'd go into places and I'd just buy them. Just buy all the places that I like to go and stuff and whatever, you know.
Would you like to be a mafia boss?
Without all of the violence, yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to get whacked or double crossed or something like that. And I'm not sure that I would like to run a criminal empire, but I would like the freedom of having a ton of money and somebody drive me around to all the places that I want to go to, and, you know, everybody just do what I say all the time. And
couldn't you just be
kind of
rich,
like being
then?
Like, well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, but I'm too lazy to be rich or do anything that involves not playing video games all day, so I don't know if I'll ever get there, you know?
You want to be the Godfather?
I don't know if I want to be the Godfather. I want to be more like... I've been watching The Deuce. Have you guys seen that? The Deuce?
No. What the fuck is that?
Oh, fuck. It's awesome. It's by the guy who...
How is it spelled?
The Deuce. The D-E-U-C-E. It's West 42nd Street, New York City, 1971. They used to call it 40 Deuce, I think. And that's why the area became known as The Deuce. It's like around Times Square before they cleaned up Manhattan. So it's by the guy who did The Wire, David Simon.
Right, yeah.
And it takes place in 71, and it's all about the adult entertainment industry. This is before – this is like the start of pornography, basically, as we now know it. And it's got
– sign us up. Say no more.
So, and of course, it was influenced and controlled by the mob back then, and probably still is.
Was it?
It's really good. It's a really good series on HBO. The first season was out last year, I think, and the second season just started on Sunday. We just watched the first episode last night of the second season, and it's great. It's really, really good. It's a really good one.
I'm excited.
Anyway, there's a big mafia boss guy. He's like a maid guy. He's not like the main guy. His name is Rudy.
Rudy.
Pepsi Cola or something. I can't remember his last name anyway. And he's just like, you know, he's a wise guy. He just like turns up in his car and he's got his guy with him. And they're always scheming and hustling and doing stuff. You know, they always seem to have an abandoned retail lot that they can just turn into like a massage parlor or something when they want to. And, you know, they've got a couple of guys that they trust to do all this stuff. And I would want to be that guy, but I wouldn't want like, you know, all the violence and backstabbing and treachery and, you know, all the degenerates and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I would just want to roll up somewhere with money and say, hey, open up a massage parlor here. And somebody be like, yeah, okay. And then just go on to the next thing sort of thing. You know what I mean? That's the mafia guy I want to be.
All right.
You want to be stealthy. What about you guys?
So you want to basically you just want to be a legit businessman.
Yeah,
really,
pretty
but
much.
Running
yeah.
slightly seedy.
I
want to
be a legit businessman, but I want to dress like a pimp. And I want to strut around New York City while I
and
do
you
want to
secretly
well.
Kind of yeah. be a little bit shady on the just have that
not even,
low
no,
level of anxiety about one day you might get in prison
all.
For the
like,
rest
I
of
think,
your life.
I think just legit, but you know, streetwise legit.
Streetwise, legit.
I want to have.
Do you
like
carry
a
gun yourself, or does, do
would,
you have like a guy?
I would carry
a
gun and never use it. Yeah, I would carry it around just so that, like, every once in
would
a while,
would it be like a ceremonial gun?
You know,
then?
Like if I wanted to buy that. A bar that I walked into and they were like, "No, it's not for sale," I could just pull it out and be like, "Really?"
Just put it down on the bar.
That's it.
And it's like this
That's
gold
the extent
etched
of,
bar
of how
gun
corrupt
like,
I'd be. Yeah. So
what would be etched on it? Like what would be written on it?
Oh,
it has to have
like
a name
ace,
or a theme,
ace,
right?
The Ace of Spades. No,
the
I'm,
ace of
I'm
spades,
it,
the
Charlene.
Ultimate dream.
I would call it Charlene, and I'd have the name engraved on it. And I'd
would it have a little heart?
Let
like
me
a,
consult with
like
Charlene. I'd pull my gun out and be like, "Whoa, what's that?" Say, like, "Oh, it's my gun." Just like intimidate
it's
people, yeah. But there's a lot of wire guys in it. Like D'Angelo Barksdale plays a cop in it.
Cool.
Lester is in it a little bit. He's
oh,
in it
man.
Very briefly. Frank Sabatka from season 2 is in it a lot. There's a whole bunch of old wire Illuminati in it.
That sounds
man.
Awesome.
You've got to fucking have some respect for HBO for like making these shows. The HBO like. Just the shows are so good. Westworld season 2 I've been watching, struggling through a little bit. I told you about it, but I'm still wrestling my way through it.
Westworld,
slowly.
I still watched the last episode of season 2, but I liked it. I like the idea of Westworld. And
yeah, it's really I know what cool. you mean. Like it's like the Westworld is a little bit like one of these games for me, which is like where I just for some reason got a little bit bored and then forgot to finish it. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I mean,
it's
I
just
saw
not
season
helped my
one.
Attention that much that I'm excited. It doesn't remind me to come back, you know?
I,
it's like
I,
that game
I,
on your
I
Steam
saw
library
season one.
You just
I don't
quit
really
it one
need
day.
To see season two. Season one was good.
Season one was good. Yeah.
Season two furthers it and is good. Season two is definitely worth watching.
It's definitely more creative than you think. Because sometimes you worry that these shows, right, are going to just drag things out.
No, there's a lot of twists
no,
in
like,
season two that
they're like,
open
they're
up
just
the story
up for
more.
Making more parks and more stuff and more world building. And it's like a relief, really, in a sense that you see more of the world. Because they could easily just drag it out for another sort of 8 episodes of do nothing, which some of these shows do. Like, nothing fucking changes. And the show's scared to change. Because they think, oh, everyone will hate it if it's not exactly the same as
it used
to be. I don't
know. I think Westworld was pretty good. I've been watching Better Call Saul as well. Like, that's
yeah,
back.
I've been trickling that out. It's coming out episode a week, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I like it. I fucking love Better Call Saul. I love the pacing of it. I like how it's
I like
not...
it, but I also struggle with it. Like, it's so fucking depressing. Like, there's
it
no
really is,
upside.
Yeah.
He never fucking gets... And even where you know he ends up, in a fucking... Like, when the show starts with... This guy ends up working in a fucking
Cinnabon.
You know, shitty Cinnabon, right? And having a heart attack or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, that's how the show fucking starts. You know, like, his whole life is just going to be shit. So, the whole, where are the fucking upsides? We watched Breaking Bad.
Well,
and
the
Saul
upsides
Breaking
were,
Bad
we're making
a terrible
fucking
time.
A fucking ton of money, like, on the edge of a knife for years, like, working for a drug cartel. That was the upside. That's.
I think Saul is like you. If you were a, like, sneaky businessman, you'd be smart, but you fucking have a bad time of it.
Yeah.
You try and, like, make a little bit of money on the edge, but it would come back to fucking bite you in the ass.
It's the.
And you'd,
the
you'd be Saul.
The story
with a fucking
of the crime doesn't pay.
On, working
it's a
at fucking
really simple one.
Dunkin' Donuts in like 2037.
You know,
that's going to be you, Sips. Run from your family.
Crime doesn't pay. That's the moral of the story here. You
your son's going to become like a pimp and come
oh,
hunt you down.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And Method Man is in. Method Man is a pimp in The Deuce as well. And he's really good.
I love Method
good.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. And Slim Charles is in it, too. Fuck, it's
amazing.
Really good. You guys have to watch The Deuce. It's really good. There's a lot of, like, awkward
I
sex
forgot
in
that
it,
you
though.
Loved rap. I always forget that you're into, like, massively into American sort of 90s gangster rap.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, I think
man,
Flax
I love,
is kind of
I love
too,
that
aren't you,
that
Flax?
Is the case.
Yeah, in a big
you
way.
You got a soft spot for all that, don't
it
you?
It was a big thing for me when I was a young man.
Yeah, it was. It's so interesting because for me, like, that was never, ever, ever a thing. Like, it was
it
always
was really big in
metal
North America
when I was
but
a teenager.
But I guess, Flex, you would have been in you would have moved back to England, like, by that point, right?
I had, yeah. And I think that's what made it more exciting. I remember very distinctly, like, do you remember when you were a kid and there were just kids in your neighborhood that you'd go out in the evening to look for something to do and people to play with or hang out with?
Uh-huh.
And there were always some kids you didn't really know where they lived. You were never going to go to their house. They were just kids you knew. Some of them you didn't even know their name, and you were too shy to say, "Hey, what's your name?" So you'd just be like, "Hey, what's up? You want to go for a bike ride? Yeah, cool." And you just cycle around the car park or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just like people you hung out with that you kind of vaguely knew.
Yeah.
And this one kid one time, he was big into rap, but the reason he was into it is because he couldn't believe that they were swearing. So he was like, "Mate, listen to this." And he put the headphones on and it was like some NWA, like they said motherfucker and they said shit and they said fuck. And it was like, wow, this is exciting and new because they're swearing in a song.
Yeah.
It was like unheard of at that point. It was funny.
But lots of swearing too. It wasn't just like the occasional.
Oh, it was a lot of swearing.
It was like every goddamn verse of the song had swearing in it, yeah.
The first rap that I really listened to, I guess, must have been like Eminem. Do you know what I mean? Like,
really?
I think that was for me, yeah.
Most people was like Snoop Dogg, right? Snoop Dogg was like the big, more so than anyone else, like almost like kind of mainstream, right? Like there was like the What's My Name video and everything, and that was like... I think they had a radio-friendly version that was, like, in heavy circulation at the time and stuff as well.
It definitely felt to me like he was one of the first rappers that crossed over from, this is a scary thing that we shouldn't allow our kids to see, to actually, that, you know, I mean, he was seen as kind of
NWA was sort of like the counterculture, and Snoop Dogg was as well, obviously, but...
It was still radio-ish. I mean, his songs
It did sort of appeal to, like, the mainstream as well. Yeah. It was more, I guess, accessible somehow.
I think it was because it didn't seem so angry. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of rap at that time, a lot of gangster rap was extremely angry. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, Snoop was just a bit more smooth with it all, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't seem so
aggressive. Yeah.
It changed into like more of a hip-hop chill vibe, definitely. Like, it wasn't as angry.
But I'm not saying that he was the first, but I think he was the one that made it more popular in the mainstream.
West Coast hip-hop was like a bit more, had like a bit more of like a party atmosphere about it. Like, East Coast hip-hop was really serious and gritty, and New York was a much different place in the 80s and like the early 90s and stuff.
It was, yeah.
Whereas like West Coast hip-hop had more of like a barbecue party feel to it sometimes. Yeah. Even though
no, you're wasn't. Right. If you look at the videos, they all seem to be having a great time.
Yeah.
And they're always barbecuing
or driving
around
their cars. Like, yeah,
lots
they're
of
not
babes.
Like all dressed up in coats and like freezing their butts off.
Just
and,
going, if you come onto this corner, I will fucking kill you. Like, that's the gist of New York.
If it's not too cold, I'm going to get the gun out if it doesn't freeze up before I
I'm going to freeze a bullet to your face.
I think
it's so cold. If I shoot a bullet, it's just going to freeze in midair, just land on your face and stick there like a penny on a cold day. That's what I'm going to do to you. Whereas in LA, they were like, hey, let's drink a load of gin and have fun. Yeah, New York is like, it's cold and I'm angry, so I'm going to shoot somebody.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, was it in your car that you have like Straight Out of Compton playing and you just talk
of the
over
movie
every swear
Office
word?
Space, isn't that
I don't
what
have a
of?
Straight Out of Compton in my car, no. What do I have in my car? I have a couple of
tapes.
Like old CDs that somehow managed to survive my move to the UK, and also my wife had a couple old CDs as well that just managed to find their way into the car. So it's like a mix of stuff. Like
when my kids were still too young to understand the words, I would drive around listening to like Wu-Tang and stuff like that, and
yeah,
ODB, Biggie, Snoop and everything else. I would drive around listening to that.
Yeah. Once they can start picking
out
words
from
a song, yeah,
that goes
you don't
straight
really
off.
Want them listening to that, yeah.
Now it's more wholesome stuff.
Dad, what does motherfucking shit-eating fuckface mean?
you'll understand when you're older. Just don't worry about it.
Why is that in your search history?
I went incognito. You don't know about that. That must have been your mother.
I typed it into Pornhub and it just auto-completed shit-eating. Overwatch.
I did my usual. I opened up Chrome and I started typing in Minecraft for the autocomplete, but then a bunch of weird porn came up. Dad, what's going on? What's good? Did you forget to use the incognito? Dad?
Do you feel like you're always stepping on eggshells
around your
kids, or are you quite? Is it quite easy?
Yeah, I mean, you occasionally swear if I get really angry.
Absolutely blasts right over their head. Like their kids are barely paying attention to anything anyway. So like you know you can. As long as you're not swearing a lot.
I thought they were like sponges. They just absorb
everything. They are and they aren't sort of thing.
They're sponges, but everything goes over their head.
A lot of stuff does go over.
It's a bit of both.
They're selective sponges, for sure. It's an incredible thing.
Also, nature. I mean, my two are old enough now to understand when daddy says a bad word, that doesn't mean they're allowed to copy it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure at school they all talk about it. Like, my youngest came home the other day and she said, Amber at school knows the S word. I said, all right, you tell me what you think the S word is. And she's like, is it shit? And I said, yes, that is the S word. Well done. the research is correct on this one. I can confirm that is indeed the S word. I said, do you know any other words? And she goes, I know the F word. I said, what's that one? She goes, flip. I said, no, flip is not the F word, but you keep using that one because that's a good one to use. Flip sounds a lot better than just screaming. It does sound a little bit better.
My son asked me the other day, he goes, Dad, what does it mean when you point your middle finger at somebody? I was like, well, what do you think it means? He's like, well, my friend at school said, and I said, well, I said, don't point your middle finger. You know what? If you want to joke around and point your middle finger at somebody and they understand that you're just joking, it's probably okay, but maybe you shouldn't do it anyway. But you should never really just point your middle finger at somebody. And I said, and you know what else? The V sign. Don't do that one either. It's not. Some people find that one offensive as well. So don't do that one either.
And if you get your hand and you shake it in your wrist in a sort of, you know, side to side fashion, don't do that.
They pick up stuff at school. He's like, Dad, I want to watch The Walking Dead. And I was like, okay, well, you can't really watch The Walking Dead. Like, it's not made for people who are 6 years old. Like, you have to be a bit older.
No, it's traumatic for 18-year-olds.
He's like, what is it about? Just, like, zombies and stuff? I really like zombies. I was like, yeah, I know, but there's lots of violence in it. It's kind of scary.
There's no songs.
It's about,
you know,
like,
pretty much
the end of the world. And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I want to watch that one. He's like, he's still young enough to know that he'd be shit scared of it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cute. It's
you know,
cute
there were kids when I was at school, there always seemed to be these kids whose parents are like, yeah, you can watch whatever the fuck you like and do whatever you like. It's a free country. It's like, well, he's still a kid. Like, do you remember V, the original TV show V?
No.
You don't remember it? Maybe it was before your time.
Maybe. I don't know. What was it about?
They remade it recently. It was about these aliens with lizard skin underneath human skin.
I did watch this, the recent one.
Okay, so
yeah,
originally this was around in the
80s. No, I've never even heard of that.
And it was huge. It was like a television event in its time, even though it was terrible. And these aliens arrive, and there's some resistance fighters, and it was incredibly popular. And basically, the aliens are lizards underneath, and they're wearing human masks. And it's very, you know, very cliche. But at the time, it was a big show. And
God, you know what?
Was it a UK show? Was it like
no,
an
no,
English?
No, it was an American show.
Really?
So,
I had never heard of Marina Baccarin.
I must have just,
do you know who
must
she
have
is?
Just missed it.
Possibly the biggest crush on her of all time.
I don't remember her. But anyway, it was huge. Like, this was when I was living in the States. It was massive. And all the other kids would stay up to watch it. It was on at 9 o'clock. And my dad was like, no, your bedtime is 8. And I was like, but please, I was like, I'll sleep for an hour, wake me up at 9, I'll watch V, I'll go back to sleep. He was like, no, if it's on at 9 o'clock, it's inappropriate, and it's too late. All the other kids at school were watching it, and they were all talking about V, and I was like, tell me everything about it, because you're my only source of information. They'd tell me the entire plot, every episode, they'd tell me, you know, this character, that character. I knew the show in my head as a 7 and 8-year-old, but they were watching it, and I mean, I've watched it recently. It is kind of violent, I guess. At the time, it was quite gory, I guess, and kind of a little scary for a 7-year-old kid. But
oh my fucking
yeah, I
god!
Felt kind of
I
bad.
Had this same experience. So there were TV shows on at BBC Two at like 11 p.m. that I couldn't watch, and my friend would watch them, and they would be like, I think they were called weird things, like sci-fi stuff, like Zex or something, like
what's it called?
Fucking something.
It's Canadian. It's a Canadian show.
Yeah. It was like this weird sort of shitty adulty sci-fi, and he would watch it, and it was about this big spaceship called the Zex or something, and he would tell me all the plots that I never fucking saw an episode. What do you reckon, what will it be that your kids will watch when they're sort of too young?
Our big one in North America, well, at least like at my school and with my friends, was Saturday Night Live. If somehow you convinced your parents to let you stay up until 11:30 at night to watch Saturday Night Live, then you had like the pleasure of turning up to school on Monday morning and just like memeing the shit out of all the skits because you watched it, and everybody else would be like, no, fuck, I couldn't stay up to watch it. But like, when you're like 10 years old and you stay up until 11:30 at night just to like see jokes on Saturday Night Live, I used to fall asleep after like 10 minutes. Like, I'd be so fucking tired. Like, it was always a thing. I remember everybody was always trying to like stay up as late as they could on Saturday to watch Saturday Night Live. And this was like around the time of like Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, and kind of like, I think those were probably some of the best years of Saturday Night Live, apart from like the Eddie Murphy years and stuff. So Chris Rock was on, like David Spade, and like Norm MacDonald was on it for a while too. So sort of like a golden age of Saturday Night Live, but it was always fun to stay up.
It was definitely called, it was called Lex, by the way.
Yes, I remember, yeah. So it was this, there was this, I think what I did was, when I was a kid, I'm sure I've told this before, but what I would do is I would pretend that I was recording something, okay, on a VHS, right? And it was on at like, I don't know, 8 o'clock, something I was allowed to watch, okay? And then I'd just leave the tape rolling afterwards, and it would record like everything up until like midnight. And then I'd fast forward the next day when my parents were out, and I'd watch the stuff that was on at late night.
Right.
And so one of those things was like Lex. And I remember like there was this, there was this scene that was like, yeah, it was like some guy was like tied to a chair. Okay. And there was this old alien like machine that was supposed to like inseminate people, keep like impregnate them.
It was really weird.
And there was this
guy
like strapped to a chair, strapped to this like James Bond style, with this like manky old moldy injection of semen like coming towards him. Like, oh, it was way too bad for me as like a fucking teenager.
That's what
I remember it as. It might not be
had
that
a woman
at
in
all.
It, called, it was a German Canadian UK production. She was called Eva Haberman. I had a massive crush on her. She was gorgeous. She had like that purple silvery hair. She was like, she was meant to be some
like the
sex
Admiral
clone
from
or
the new
something,
Star Wars.
But she was fucking gorgeous. Oh my God.
And the other thing I watched was a thing called Space Above and Beyond, which was like one season of shitty sci-fi in like 1996. And for some reason I watched like the whole thing, and it was just so fucking weird, but it was bad. It was bad.
Man,
shitty,
I thought I was into
sci-fi,
but you guys have shown me up big time. Like, I think I used to just watch Star Trek: The Next Generation, and that was about it.
I mean, I was allowed to watch that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That was
fine.
On at like 5
that was
o'clock,
on at like
6
o'clock.
O'clock
at
yeah,
I watched
BBC
that with my
Two.
Mum. You know, we had a good time watching that. That was great. Honestly, that was a great show.
That the first time really I saw show. That was on a trip to the States. They hadn't started showing it in the UK. This was back when if a show was in the States, it would be like 3 or 4 fucking years before it they bothered to show it in the UK.
Movies used to be like that too. Remember, movies used to take forever to come
forever.
Out in the UK. After
and now
the
it's like synchronized
US.
Releases.
Pretty much, yeah.
And back then, you go into a video store. I know. Our podcasts always descend into either talking about poop, or talking about our willies, or talking about how things were when we were young. And I know that's typical, but fucking deal with it. We've got many episodes of this? This
we're,
is what it
old.
Is. If you're still listening, you put up with it for X number of episodes, with Y number
at
more.
This,
anyway.
At this point, you're probably not even listening to what we're saying.
You just like
the patterns of our voices, right? It doesn't really matter what we're saying.
So you'd go into the video store, and there would be videos for new releases would be years before they came out on video. Like the original video stores, you'd go in. Let's say there was a movie that came out. It's not going to come out in like 3 or 4 months or 5 months on Blu-ray, DVD, and Netflix. Years before they trusted it to come out on video, because they were convinced it was going to steal all the money that the cinemas were making, and it was all going to be video.
I used to work at Blockbuster when I first moved over here. And I used to speak to my mom, you know, like once a week or whatever. And I used to really be big into movies. I used to watch a lot of movies before I had kids. Once you have kids, you watch less movies for sure. I don't know if you noticed that. But before I had kids, I watched tons of movies. And when I was working at Blockbuster, I watched tons of movies.
And do you mean I in remember, the theater or on? Because I watch loads at home.
I'd go to like, you know, opening night stuff at the theater all the time.
Yeah, I don't do the movies so much. Although I saw Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible. It was good.
Well, and I find now that like in the evenings, we just watch like shows. Like, you know, shows have taken over movies for me for sure. But so I used to speak to my mom every week and she'd be like, oh, you fucking, this just came out and it's really good. And I was like, ah, shit, you know, I got to wait for months for that to come out. And then like I'd say, oh, you know, we just got this out on DVD. It just came out. Like, we just got it at Blockbuster yesterday. She's like, what? That's been out for months here. Right. You know, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it's like so frustrating.
I think that's one thing that's definitely changed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that used to be the case that Australia were like 2 years ahead on Home
and Away.
But
then they had the region lock on DVD players too. So I'd say to my mom, like, fucking, can you buy it and send it to me? Like, I really want to see it. I don't want to wait 4 months. And they're like, yeah, but we can't get region two. We can only get region one over here.
Did you not region unlock your DVD player?
I did eventually, yeah. But at first, I didn't know how to. I don't even know if I had a DVD player that had like the region lock thing.
I had a Wharfdale DVD player that I bought from Tesco's specifically because I read on the internet that all you had to do was enter a specific code and it would region unlock it. So you just had to go and press a certain combination of buttons on the remote. And the screen would sort of nod at you like, yes.
I mean, I was not that savvy. You know, like I was representing your average Joe back then, I think. You know, with these geographical international issues.
Yeah, I was all over that stuff thinking about it. Because we had ITV Digital and I had the unlocked ITV Digital, which gave you all the channels, even the rude ones. Oh.
Well, like Babe Station and stuff.
Well, yeah, but this is Babe Station when it's just showing you trailers. Later on, it shows you actual softcore pornography where you see tits.
Wow.
You see actual tits.
Holy shit. Didn't Channel 5 used to have like a bunch of softcore
in
the evening?
Really
like a long
softcore.
Time ago?
Yeah. All the boobs would be behind like a piece of glimmering fabric. You know, you still had to imagine. Babe Station was more of the early days. Like, this is before internet porn was really viable. People still used the TV and magazines because it took half an hour to download a fucking movie. So, you know, you fucking...
I mean, everybody's got a story about their friend who bought a top shelf magazine and, like, and then just got scared that their parents would find it and, like, you know, threw it in a ravine somewhere or stashed it under a rock in the woods.
Go find them in the woods. That's where all the porn is.
How are we back on woods porn?
it fucking always comes back to woods porn because...
It was a seminal moment in my childhood. Finding porn, man.
I like that pun, P-Flex. Well done.
Oh, very good.
All right. Let's
Before we do the usual, thank you. Let's wrap it up.
Everyone, just honestly, what a jumble of mess of a podcast as we bounce from topic to topic.
Yeah, sorry about that. I told you we wouldn't be able to top last week's. We'll never be able to. You know what we're going to talk about next week? That's right, games and our childhood again, and possibly our dicks and poop and stuff as well.
Childhood and things
pooping.
Have changed.
Pooping. Yeah. I don't have any new stories. This is the problem. I stream like 6 hours a day. All my stories,
sorry.
I'm spent. I have nothing. I don't, like, you know what I mean? I don't have a life outside of all this stuff now. All my stories are repeated and old. Like,
you know what
I
should do? I used to do this. I have ideas all week. I was like, shit, we should talk about that on the podcast. And then I forget it. I should write them down.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, talking point number four. Let's talk about pornography that's been stashed in the woods and found there. I don't think we've covered that topic.
No, that's a new, that's definitely
new
a new fresh topic for us. Like,
yeah, but I will think
right,
about
thanks.
It.
Have to think about it.
Bye. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you later. Bye.